Allison, and as a person who's been a Long Islander for a long time, when you're in these parts, I'd like to recommend that you listen to Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
I'm alive. Feeling better than I'm looking. Learn to do my own cooking. Learn to do my own.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York, where the time is just about 6 o'clock. New headphones. Hey, this is kind of cool. Finally getting some respect around here. I can actually hear myself. Actually, I don't know if that's really respect. But it's time for Off the Wall, it being Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this hot Tuesday evening where summer has hit us full in the face. Just skipped over spring this year. We're going to go right into the Tommy Chong tribute for today. And I was just going to the TommyChong.org website, actually the free TommyChong.org website. I'm trying to find out the release date, when he's actually getting up. I can't seem to find it anywhere. If anyone has that information, please give us a call. As of April 27th, this website has received their 1,000th email for Tommy. The email address, TommyChong@freetommychong.org, if you can remember that. And they say even with the spam, there's still a lot of letters of encouragement for Tommy. Thank you all so much for helping us to make his stay at Taft Correctional Facility a little brighter. And for those of you who would like to send letters to Tommy Chong directly, his address is Tommy Chong, number 077-98068. That's a prison number. One day we'll all have those. A lot of my friends have them already. That's number 077-98068. It's kind of like a Social Security number, but they use it a whole lot more. Next time Visa or MasterCard ask for your social security number, ask them if your prison number will do. Make for a bit of levity. Continuing with the address, Unit A4B. Actually, it's Unit A space 4B, I guess is probably the proper way to do it. It's not over yet. P.O. Box 7001, 7001, and that's in Taft, T-A-F-T, California. Zip code 93268. And they request that you don't send anything that would get them into trouble. No porn, no drug-oriented material, no bomb threats, that kind of thing. Let's not make his time more difficult. Supposedly he's getting out next month. I'd like to get a firm date on that. Tommy Chong, of course, being in prison for selling bongs on the internet. Crime of the century. I still don't even believe it's a crime at all. I've sold bongs in the parking lot here at the Union. I mean, I don't know what being on the internet has to do with these kinds of things. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is insane. So we've been playing just about every week, almost every week. We've missed a few, but we've been trying to play a piece from Cheech and Chong, featuring Tommy Chong, obviously, as sort of a tribute. And now that we finally have this information on how you can send mail to Tommy Chong, either email or paper mail, well, I'm glad we can share that. And it might be faster to send email at this point, especially if it's getting out next month. And make sure you say you heard it here on Off the Wall. Maybe he'll pay us a visit someday. Okay, here's our piece for this week for the Tommy Chong tribute. We'll be back right after this.
Okay, you got that, man? I'm in the coffee shop across from the high school. I got the stuff with me, so make sure you bring the cash, man.
Hey, man, can I use the
phone,
man?
You got that? $160 bucks,
all
right?
Hey, man, let me use the phone, man. I got to make an important call.
Hey, how you doing, Pedro?
Hey, good. Let me use the phone, man.
Yeah, just a minute, man. I'm making a deal,
hey,
man.
Hey, well, come on, hurry up, man. It's an emergency, man. I got to make this call.
Oh, okay, then. Oh, okay, man. Be on, here in up, 5 minutes, man.
Hey, come on, man.
Okay, I'm
going to
wait 5 minutes, man. I'm leaving.
Come on, man. Get off the phone.
Okay, you got it, man.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot, man. I got to make a call. It's a matter of life and death, man.
Hey, Pedro.
What?
If I make this deal, man, I'm selling some stuff for $160 bucks, man.
Yeah, that's right.
And if
I pay my
lawyer $90, man,
no,
I'll have over $100 bucks to myself, man.
Yeah,
$100,
man. $100, that's cool, man. Yes,
but the dude has to come up with $160 or it's no deal,
man. Yeah, that's good. Shut up for a minute, man. Let me score. 8-4-3-1-0-60 bucks. There's no bucks on here. Hey, man, you're messing me up, man. Would you just be quiet for a minute, will you please? Golly, what's the number again? Oh, let's see. 8-4-3-6-1-7-7. Yeah, just be quiet, man. I gotta make this call, okay? 8-4-3-6-1-7-7. Oh, come on, answer. Oh, good, it's ringing.
MOLD request line, hold, please.
Oh, thank God I got you, man. Hey, listen, I want to make a request, and I want to dedicate it to Sofia Ramona Gutierrez, and also to her sister, Debbie. Okay?
Hello.
Hi. And also to Food Giant, Taco Ernie, Greasy Yeti, Horseface, and Chango. And also to my cousin, Tavo, and Camp David Gonzalez. Get out soon, and we'll get down and party, man.
Okay, thanks for going.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. My name's Pedro de Pacas, and the song I want to play is called Click Clack by Dicky Doo and the Dons.
Okay, thanks for going.
Hey, right on, man.
Goodbye.
Oh, boy, that's a load off my mind, man. Mm.
Hey, Pedro?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man, are you going to be around here for a while?
Yeah, they're going to play my request on the radio, man.
Oh, good. Listen, I got to make a run, man.
Oh.
So I want you to do me a favor, all right?
Well, sure, man.
Listen, here's the bag of stuff, man.
Yeah?
Now, when the dude comes, make sure you get $160 cash off him, all right?
Oh, sure, man. No problem, man.
Now, make sure it's cash, man. Don't take any checks or anything.
Oh, no, just cash, huh?
Okay?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Hey, wait a minute, man. How do I know what the dude looks like?
Oh, right. Listen, he's that new dude in school, you know? The one with the funny haircut?
Oh, him. Yeah. I know what he looks like, man.
Okay, I'll be back in a little while, man.
Yeah, okay, well, hurry up, man. Let's see. What's that number now? MOLD 1103.
Excuse me, sir. Are you sitting here?
Yeah.
Is this your property here?
Oh. Oh, hey, you're the dude, man. Yeah, the guy says $160, man.
Could I see it, please?
Yeah, there it is, man. MOLD.
Could you come with us, sir?
What?
You're under arrest. And it is my duty to inform you of your rights.
Hey, I know my rights, now, man. This wasn't even my stuff, man.
Yeah, well, you have the right to remain silent. However, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Court? Hey, man, I can't go to court. I haven't even heard my request yet, man.
Will you put your hands on the table, please?
Wait a minute, man.
Now, you have the right to the presence of an attorney, and if you can't afford an attorney will be appointed for you.
Hey, wait, that's not even my stuff, man. I was holding it for a friend, man, really.
And right now, we have a special request from Poncho to all his friends at Camp David Gonzalez. It's an old gold call.
Well, you heard it here. That's a real tale of injustice right there. And it's unfortunately the way things go in the world. I mean, you heard it. He was just sitting there waiting for his song to come on the radio, watching something for a friend of his. His friend Tommy Chong. Well... Okay, you know, that I could, you know, sort of see, even though it's kind of silly, but sending somebody to prison for selling bongs, that's crazy. But we've been talking about this for many, many months now. Thing is, you can't let it go. You can't just forget about it, because when you forget about it, you forget about the victims, and there are definite victims here, or at least one victim. I think we're all the poorer for it, though, for Tommy Chong being in prison for, what, 10 months? Insanity. Utter, absolute insanity. Okay, what are we going to do today? We have all kinds of orders of business to take care of, not the least of which is taking your phone calls. So if you're out there, please make a note of the phone number, 631-632-WUSB. That's 631-632-9872. We want to hear your opinions on what's going on in the world, what's going on locally, what's going on in your life, you know, that kind of a thing. We're here for you, you being the listener. We being the radio station. And some of you are listening to us over the internet. That's fine. That's permissible. Some of us, some of you are listening to us in the future. And that's great, too. But the only problem with that is that, you can't call us. If you call us, you will find out that we're not here because this already happened. And we're gone. And maybe we'll be back, but you can't reach us today if you don't listen now live. I can't explain it properly. I always get all confused. But basically, you have to listen to the radio or listen to the internet where there's, I think, a 2 or 3 minute delay. And then you can call us, 631-632-9872. We'll take phone calls in just a little bit. I was meaning to do this. Let me do it now. All right. So, okay, we got our dial tone? Good.
White House?
Yes, hi, this is the White House.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested in submitting my opinion on the whole Donald Rumsfeld thing. Who would I call to do that?
You would call the President's Comments and Message Line. However, it is closed for the evening.
Oh, dear.
I want to call back tomorrow between 9 and 5 Eastern Time.
And what number is that?
202.
Uh-huh.
456.
Uh-huh.
1111.
1111.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll call that then. Thank you.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to call it now anyway. Not that I like disobeying the White House. I just want to see what happens if I call it. Oh, I hope I don't get her. Oh, she'll be mad if I do.
Thank you for calling the White House comment line. The office is now closed. Your comment is very important to the President, so please call again.
Is that Condoleezza Rice?
...of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Our direct telephone number is 202-456-1111. Again, that's 202-456-1111. Thank you.
Are we going to get transferred? No, we got hung up on immediately. Oh, well. Okay, so if you have an opinion, you can only have it during business hours. And, of course, those of you overseas, you'll have to adjust your clocks. But I guess that means that you'll get a human. You'll get a human being. So when the human being picks up, you can say, I think that this is what should happen to Donald Rumsfeld. And this is how long it should take for it to happen. And, things like that. As much detail as you possibly can can express. Without using obscenities, obviously. Because they're only humans on the other side of the phone. I don't know if anybody saw the hearings on Friday, but they were pretty revealing. Rumsfeld managed to contradict himself on a number of occasions. At one point, saying that he hadn't seen the pictures until the day before, and then another point talking about how there were things going on in January, and how they had asked the 60 Minutes 2 people not to air things for a couple of weeks. It's so obvious that this is something that pervades the entire system, whether it's just turning a blind eye to the systematic abuse or actually encouraging it in various ways. Thing is, you can't just blame the people that were taking part in it. Of course, you have to blame them. You have to do something to these people because what they did was inhumane and horrible. But you have to also look at how it got to that stage, how there was, in the words of so many people, there was no supervision. There were no rules. There was nothing. It was a free-for-all. You made up the rules as you went along, you know. And that's how the military operation was run. It kind of makes sense, you know. That's why it's in such bad shape, because there's no real plan. There's no real organization. And that's why the guy's got to go, because he's the one ultimately in charge of that. Well, the one ultimately in charge, obviously, is somebody else. But, you know, that's... In the administration's eyes, I guess that's the advantage of having a meathead in the White House, because you can always claim you didn't know what was going on. You know, and you can sort of believe it. You can sort of believe that Bush had no idea any of this was happening. Of course he should have known. Of course he should have been on top of the situation. But, you know, you listen to him, you watch him. It's entirely plausible that he had no clue. So can you blame him? You can't really blame him for this. You can blame him for that, though. You can blame him for not taking enough of an interest and not keeping himself informed and for letting his underlings run rampant. But as far as direct responsibility, I see it resting on the shoulders of the Secretary of Defense, obviously. And I'll tell you, though, it was frustrating. I was trying to listen to the hearings because I was driving into the city on Friday when they were taking place. There were two hearings. There was the Senate committee and then the House committee. And, you know, not a single radio station, not one radio station, FM or AM, was covering the hearings. Not one. I mean, they all gave updates, the ones that give newscasts in the first place, but you'd think with the hundreds of media access points there are, that at least one station would have coverage of what was probably one of the most important hearings in our lifetimes. I mean, this is a big scandal. This is a big deal. But no, it was all, you know, home of the hits and the usual commercials and radio programs that don't really address anything. You know, music boxes, that kind of thing. But, you know, sometimes things are very important and they have to be listened to. I also noticed the same problem on television. Yeah, you could watch it on CNN. You could watch it on Fox, you can watch it on MSNBC, but you know what you couldn't watch it on? Television, over-the-air television. There are still people out there, I've heard this, there's legends, but I do believe they exist, people who do not have cable TV. Yeah, people who do not have cable TV or satellite TV. I know there's a lot of people who don't have TVs at all. But I'm talking about the people who just have stubbornly held on to the TV sets that they've had over the years and not plugged those cables and wires into the back of them. Because remember, television was invented to broadcast over the air. In all honesty, I don't know why TV stations even bother anymore. Since the vast majority of their viewers come over cable and satellite, they don't even need to have that transmitter, which is probably the most expensive part of it. So... I mean, it must cost a lot less to run a cable station than it does to run an over-the-air station. Just seems to make sense to me. But in any event, if you were one of those people who did not have access to cable, access to satellite, you just had an over-the-air TV station, every single TV station was not broadcasting this. You'd think one, you know, PBS something, would curtail their usual programming crap and... air something of international significance. They did it overseas. They certainly were airing it in foreign markets. But here, you got to go to cable. where it's all the same. Today, of course, news broke of a different sort, and this is probably what's going to swing things around in Rumsfeld's favor. That, of course, the horrible execution of an American prisoner. Looking at what the Associated Press is giving us right now, shocked reaction to a video posted on an Islamic militant website. You notice how they never tell you the website. All the media knows about it, but they don't tell you the website because they don't want you looking at it. Now, I don't want to look at it, okay? I don't want to see this. What happened to this poor guy. But I think that's a decision that I'm going to make, not somebody for me. So if anybody out there has that URL, please let us know what it is. And people have the right to know these things. I mean, you know, let's look at it this way. Maybe there's something in that video that's odd, that gives a clue, that is something that shouldn't be there. You know, things like that, that will come out if more people look at it. Plus, you know, why the secrecy? Why the secrecy? Anyway, the group that carried out the killing said that it's in revenge for the abuse of Iraqi prisoners by Americans. The body of the victim, identified as Nick Berg, was found in Baghdad over the weekend. So they already found his body. This is an apparent video of his beheading. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan says the tape shows the true nature of the enemies of freedom. You know, why can't they just lay off the rhetoric just for a second? You know? Just for a second. True nature of the enemies of freedom. I mean, just... ugh. Yeah, the people who did this were bastards, no question about it. I don't know. He says those responsible have no regard for the lives of innocent men, women, and children. He says the Bush administration is determined to bring justice to Berg's killers. Thing is, they're probably never going to catch these guys. They're wearing hoods over their heads. They don't even know where it was taped. They don't know when this was done specifically. So the only thing that's going to happen now is more people are going to feel the brunt of this righteous indignation. Now, of course, people should be angry, upset, horrified at what happened. But that doesn't mean translating that into torture and abuse of innocent people. And that's exactly what has happened in the past. That's exactly what's going to happen in the future. And I've already heard people trying to justify what's been going on over there. Saying, look, look at what they do. You see, this is what they do. This is why we have to treat them like that. As if they're the same. As if these are the same people. These people with the hoods over their heads, cutting off the heads of people that they've imprisoned, are not the same people that are being imprisoned, tortured, humiliated, that kind of a thing. You may be turning those people into these monsters, and you may be turning a lot more people into these monsters by doing that kind of thing in the first place. Anyway, just about every story on the AP today is about this particular action, pushing the story of the abuse of the prisoners way down to the bottom. Shock, grief, anger, it's how a Pennsylvania family is reacting to the death of an American civilian who was beheaded. Senators are stunned at the beheading of an American in Iraq. Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter calls it subhuman conduct. Pennsylvania's other senator, Rick Santorum, called the killing an outrage to the civilized world. He says it is a perfect example of why the war on terrorism is so important. No, it's not. It's an example of the futility of this. How over a year after supposedly rotting that country of its evil roots and governments and things like that, we haven't gotten any place. Things are worse. Okay, let's get to the other story. The Army general who first investigated abuse in an Iraqi prison blames a lack of discipline, training, and supervision, not military orders. Testifying on Capitol Hill, Major General Antonio Tabuga left open the possibility that CIA agents and contractors were involved. Questions about ultimate responsibility for control of the Abu Ghraib prison produced a disagreement between Taguba and Stephen Cambone, Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. Taguba said the control had been turned over to military intelligence officials. Cambone said that was wrong, insisting military police had control. Well, the whole thing is just completely spiraling out of control, and I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. We had a lot of feedback to last week's show, and of course you can send your feedback, otw@2600.com. By the way, if you want to call in, we'd like to have as much listener feedback as possible, because we haven't had that in recent weeks, because we just had so much to talk about. But let's take a look at some of the listener mail we've gotten. And again, otw@2600.com is the number to call, or rather the email to send. The number to call is 631-632-9872. Out of the country, country code 1. But you knew that. Dear Emmanuel, I agree. Managing the news not only keeps people feeling like the war is going swimmingly, but keeps people, American people like myself, from being outraged enough that we organize in significant numbers against wanton military actions, just like some 30 years ago. And yeah, you know, if you look at the news today, obviously, if you try to organize against your government, you're a traitor, because look what they're doing. There's evil on both sides. That's something I think everybody needs to come in contact with. Dear Off the Wall, I'm the girl who called at the end of the show today. I thought I'd send you a link about the aviator. That's the George W. Bush doll. Okay, there's a new story, news.bbc.co.uk/1/hi/world/americas/3184709.stm. They say seeing is believing, but still, love your show. It was the first time I was on the radio. All right. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. This is Emmanuel.
This is Emmanuel. You're on Off the Wall on the air.
Yeah. Dude, you got to be kind of kidding me, right?
Am I kidding just you, or am I kidding everybody?
Are you kidding everybody? Let me tell you something about myself real quick, all right?
Okay.
I'm a New York City firefighter.
All right.
All right? I got two kids over there in Iraq. How dare you talk like that about our government?
Well, I would be very upset if I had kids over there and our government sent them over there.
My government did not send them over there. They signed up to go there.
Yeah, well, did they sign up to go to Iraq specifically?
They signed up to go to Iraq, not to get a free college ride.
Okay, well, then that's their choice.
Of course it is.
But do you really think the policy over there is working?
The policy sure is. You know, the policy is working. We're over there for a reason. And I don't believe, I don't think, you guys remember 9/11, right? You remember what happened?
I remember what happened. It had nothing to do with Iraq, though.
They support terrorism.
They support terrorism?
Terrorism.
Well, you know, you can accuse lots of governments of supporting terrorism, this one included. So exactly. I don't know if that's, I mean, are you saying that every single country that we believe somehow supports quote-unquote terrorism, we can invade those countries, overthrow their governments, and throw them into turmoil?
No, you're right. We can wait till it happens to us again. And you know what? Maybe it'll happen to somebody close to you, and you might have a different change of thought on this policy.
Well, I know people that were victims. I mean, I know people who knew people. I didn't know anybody specifically myself, but people who lost lots of friends there. And, you know, you want to have justice, but you don't want to have blind justice where you just lash out. And, I mean, you saw the pictures of the prisoners in Iraq. What's your feelings on those?
I'm going to say exactly, because that's what I was listening to you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't listen to you when I'm at... I listen to you quite a bit, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because I love the station, you know?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you exactly my view on that is because we... See, again, you don't know how the military works. We were softening them up for interrogation. That's how we get our information. But over there, you know, it's okay. They can take our bodies, burn them, drag us to the streets, hang us from a bridge, cut the rope, and then have the people tear us to shreds.
Yeah, but you see, just because people act like barbarians does not give you the right to act like barbarians, too.
They didn't act like barbarians. We embarrassed them.
They sick dogs on them. They had them in sexual positions. Horrible humiliation. You think that's
you're
justified?
Exactly right. I'm glad you said that. We embarrassed them. You know what? My father was in Vietnam. He spent 2 years at the Hanoi Hilton. He said he would have loved the day if they embarrassed him like that, the way they tortured him. See, you know, that's interrogation purposes. And for them, look what they did today, like you just talked about, right?
Are these the same people? The people that did this, and it wasn't today, it was a few days ago, but the people that beheaded the American prisoner, they're not the same people that were in the prison being tortured and humiliated. They're not the same people. You don't even know if those people were guilty of anything. In fact, it's come out through many bits of testimony that thousands of people there are probably not guilty of anything, just being investigated.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You don't feel we have to investigate people after what happened?
Investigate everybody? Investigate all kinds of innocent people?
Of course, we have to investigate everybody as far as I'm concerned.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that the way this is coming about, the fact that all these pictures are being made public, do you think that might be planting the seeds of real terrorism in the future among people that are horrified by what's happening in their own country?
Well, these pictures should have never been public anyway.
So you think the pictures should have been kept quiet?
That's the Geneva Conference. Even when they had our prisoners over there and they showed pictures, remember how mad the United States government was that they posted pictures? But yet we posted them. I don't know what that was all about. I'm very against that.
Well, somebody leaked the pictures to the media, and of course Rumsfeld tried to keep that from happening, but they got out. And I think all the pictures should be published, including the videos. There's videotapes out there, too. The thing is, when people are doing this, I think we agree on this, that this is something that's happening inside the system. It wasn't just a case of these soldiers saying, oh, you know what, I'm out of control, I'm going to do this. This is what's going on over there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's what goes on, and that's, you know what, unfortunately, and a lot of people don't realize this, that's what war is. We are at war. And like, and you know, and war is hell, right? That's what they say.
Well, you know,
tough thing. That's a tough thing.
This has turned the opinion, the public polls in America quite a bit. I think a lot of people are surprised to find out that this is how we fight the wars. What do you think about that? Oh, he hung up. Oh, well. It's too bad when people don't finish a conversation. Oh, well. Let's take another call. 631-632-9872. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening.
How you doing?
Would like to thank you very much for being so open-minded that you let that other gentleman speak through and encouraged him, because to me, those are the people that are just terrifying, that mm-hmm. want to have things be, because of there's a prescribed set of rules, that then means we can do this and we can do that. And
yeah,
it's scary. That guy's probably my neighbor.
It's very scary, yeah. I mean, the people over there are our neighbors, and that scares me and that horrifies me, the fact, you know, every time I hear of more people dying over there, American soldiers, it bothers me, and it bothers me to see American soldiers acting like animals.
Right, and it's not like we're over there fighting this organized army that has been commissioned to kill us.
Exactly. To say we're at war is really kind of misleading. We invaded a country, and now we're trying to run the country, and we're finding out that we can't do it.
All I would do is I would say to people like that caller who just called before, what would he personally do if somebody stormed in and decided all of a sudden they're going to start issuing justice and decide who needs to be asked questions and who doesn't need to be asked questions,
mm-hmm.
and you look at somebody funny and all of a sudden you need to be interrogated further? Would that gentleman, and I bet you he would, and probably his sons too that were over there, would they not be one of the first ones to raise up arms and try to suppress these people who are coming in and trying to tell them what to do?
Absolutely. I don't think most of the people that we know and care about would resort to the horrors that we saw revealed today in the media with torture and beheadings and things like that. But we certainly would take up arms and start some kind of resistance.
I disagree. If I had family or heard stories about what was going on in that prison, and I see you coming down the street, and I know you're part of that uniformed gang that's doing it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'd be able to control myself. I think I might kind of go crazy too.
You think you'd burn bodies and drag them through the streets and
gang mentality really mm-hmm. is a special kind of thing. You know what caused the soldiers that were involved in the stuff that they have the pictures of to do that? Do you think that each of those people on their own could do something like that? I really think that there's something about a gang a gang mentality that gets into people and causes them to do things that they might not otherwise do.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's a certain darkness in all of us, and to say that only one side is capable of these horrors, no, it's not true. It's true of anybody. Anybody can be a Nazi. That's in everybody. And it's one of those horrible dark parts that we have to face and somehow win over.
But anyway, thank you again for taking these calls, because I know some people tend to be on one side or the other and aren't able to allow another call or another point of view to kind of talk through. So congratulations on that.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. 631-632-9872. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
This is the show, right?
Sorry?
Is this the radio show?
This is the radio show. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Let me pull over here a second, all right?
Okay. Driving in your car.
Yeah. Coming back from work.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I've been hearing that whole thing about this Iraq thing you guys have been going over and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
All about the terrorism and stuff like that, and about the atrocities.
Yeah. Turn your radio down, so that doesn't happen.
I turned it off. I wanted to make sure. Okay. You know, these soldiers that are out there fighting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That are exposed to them. You know, you make it sound somewhat that they're just snatching up people at random in the street and interrogating them in certain ways. And, you know, along those lines. And they're not. I mean, that's not the way you run it. They're going after specific people that might have some information that in some way, one way or another, are attached to other people that are doing things. They themselves might have done things prior. They might not be the ones that are committing these, murders and stuff. But they must know.
Well, I think maybe the whole country is linked in some way because people know people who know people.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. When Saddam was in there, and he had his own people out there, his special guards there that would go out randomly and chop off people's tongues because they said stuff about him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
On, you know, not like a police kind of action, all right? They were attacking citizens, all right? You know, regular people speaking up against the government. Our soldiers are not police officers, number one. These guys are picking up people that they believe would have intelligence to help them end this. Now, would you say they are the exact same people? And I heard you say that, you know, many times on this show. No, the guys that they're picking up and interrogating might not be the exact ones, but they're picking them up for a reason. They're not picking up a little old lady in the street and, you know, interrogating them. How else would you get information from someone that is out not to give it to you?
Well, it sounds like you could use that to justify picking up anybody. I mean, saying that this person is suspected of knowing something, that's, you know, where's the due process here? In this country, if you pick somebody up off the street to question them, you have to charge them or do something within a certain amount of time. Over there, there don't seem to be any rules. They can pick up people off the street, say, hey, this person must know something. We're going to hold him. We're going to stick dogs on him. We're going to tie him naked to a post. And because he knows something, it seems like it's very easy to justify this, and there's no checks and balances.
It's, first of all, let me say, you know, and I appreciate the time you've given me here.
Sure.
It's war. All right? There is no due process in war. There was no due process. Pearl Harbor, Vietnam, Hanoi Hilton, RAS, Korea, World War II, World War I, in the trenches, and all that stuff. Starvation, dropping bombs on London. War by nature, by the word, is a barbaric act. Why? That is why it is outlawed through the UN.
And that's why it's such a real bad thing that we started this war, because the wars that you've given examples of were more two-way streets. You know, bombs dropping on London, bombs dropping on Berlin. You know, there was a bit of a give and take. The war here has been in one country. We've invaded the country, and it's gone to hell.
No, hold on a second. Why did we invade that country?
That's a good question. If you can answer that one, you win the prize.
Yes, sir. What is the prize? I'll tell you the prize. They invaded Kuwait, okay?
Yeah, back in 1990, they invaded Kuwait.
All right, Clinton in office, whatever it is, all right, we had many resolutions at the UN, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody keeps talking about, what was it, 1440 or something like that. The real one, I believe, was 128, where you're not supposed to invade anybody or you lose any offensive weapons at all.
Okay, but you know what? They withdrew. That war already happened. What was the point of this war?
The point of this war is a continuation of the lack of the U, the lack of fortitude in the UN.
Well, okay, you can't quote UN resolutions as reasons for going to war and then say the UN doesn't have what it takes to...
There is no reason to go to war. It is against the rules. It's against the law. You invade a peaceful country and try to take their stuff and take it over. That's against the rules.
Right. Well, you see, this war was started because of the weapons of mass destruction. And look at the UN hearings on this. That's why we did it, because it was an imminent threat. And that turned out to be fiction. Or do you still think that there's weapons of mass destruction they're hiding someplace?
Whether or not there were weapons of mass destruction or not is not the issue.
Well, it was the issue when we went in there.
No. Hold on. The issue why we went in there is because we were not allowed to go and look for them. All they had to do was comply, and they did not.
I from what I recall, and I can look this up a little bit more, but we had weapons inspectors. There were UN weapons inspectors. They were ordered out of the country by the United States because we were not happy with the results they were getting. In other words, they weren't finding weapons of mass destruction, and we wanted Saddam Hussein to account for weapons of mass destruction that we believed he had, and he wasn't doing that.
They did not let Americans on the inspection team. That was the issue. And you cannot dictate after you invade another country who's going to go in there. All right, now you invaded a country, you got thrown out. Now, here is the punishment. You are not allowed to have offensive, you know, I mean, there are, you know, 10-mile missiles, whatever the case is, read that far into it. But anything that would be considered offensive, they can have a defensive thing like Israel has. You know, you can defend yourself. When they didn't comply to let people come in, all right, this got bogged down in the UN, all right? Do I agree that we should go in there and stuff like that half-heartedly? Which, in my opinion, is what we're doing. This should not take this long. People in that country, if they truly want to be free, should rise up.
I don't think we went in there half-heartedly. We brought in, what, 150,000 troops, and not counting the ones from other countries?
Yeah, but we're not doing the job.
I think we don't understand what the job is. I think we miscalculated completely what that country is like and the amount of resistance. I mean, the people who were our friends are now our enemies. This is after Saddam Hussein was overthrown. So, obviously, the occupation was a bad idea. Yeah, getting Saddam Hussein out, that was fairly easy. But what do you do after that? That was never planned.
You can't plan for this. You have to throw it around. And in my opinion, we're going to put people we want in office. That's the way it's going to fall out. It'll look any way you want, but here you have a country that has pretty much no formal school system going. Who are you going to put in office of a country that's holding X amount of oil reserves? That'd be somebody with some noodles, not some half-assed guy in the street. You know. So we're going to set up a government there. Sooner or later, there will be a government set up there. There'll be things going on. It's a U.S. like whatever it is, a puppet government. I don't care. When they start taking it out on American citizens that are there to work, all right? This is what our soldiers are up against. Every one of them looks the same. These are the people that they're up with. If you have a gun and you're not supposed to have it, you're just as guilty as that guy there that chopped off the other guy's head or shot him or executed someone or rocketed a Humvee. You're all in the same boat.
You're saying that Iraqis who have weapons are guilty?
Okay.
They're not supposed to have weapons?
Weapons? I'm not really sure if they're supposed to have weapons anymore. It's part of their culture.
But do you think they have the right to defend their homes, their homelands? You know, do you think they have that right?
Well, I don't have an AK-47. I'll defend my homeland through...
Well, you also don't have foreign troops stomping through your backyard. You know, you have to ask yourself, what would you do if the situation were reversed and these were foreign soldiers running through your towns and kicking in your doors? Because that is what's happening. I don't know if you see it on American media, but I see it on foreign media, where soldiers are constantly kicking in doors of families, terrifying them, pointing guns at them, looking for I don't know what, not finding it and leaving. No apologies, nothing. And that creates a very bitter taste in the mouth of the populace.
Knock on the door, say, hey, listen, you know, there is no due process. They're not entitled to it. This is not a police thing. They are not afforded our Constitution. Our soldiers are not cops. If they have a suspicion that something might be going down, what are you supposed to do? Wait for it? Look and see if maybe somebody... You know, this is a cop thing after you get some sort of rules in place. But until the threat is gone, you're never going to have that. The only way I can see it happening that way is to do it this way. Go in. If you make a mistake, so be it. You didn't kill anybody. You busted a lock. You pulled their guns.
Well, actually, it's not a lot of people.
And if you do find them with some kind of evidence, you interrogate them.
A lot of people have been killed on the other side. A lot. And in fact, just today, the British Army is being accused of, I believe, 37 deaths of completely innocent civilians for no apparent reason. They weren't even posing a threat, including a 12-year-old girl.
These people that are out there, okay, in Iraq, in, you know, all in the Middle East, pretty much, all right, that have this religious idea, all right, it's a forced religion going back to the Hun period, all right, this is what they did to capture them people there. They killed everyone until you gave in. This is what they're used to. How are you supposed to, you know, it's not like...
Have you looked at the history of Christianity lately? I mean, you know, one thing organized religions have in common is brutality and forcing people to submit to your will.
But this was the Huns. The Huns brought this there, all right? These were not a warring people until they came running across, and this is how they dealt with them. Afghanistan is another tough place to go. You can never take them down. Russia tried. The only way to take them...
Okay, well, you seem to be contradicting yourself then. You're saying we can never take them down, so what are we trying to do? We're never going to win.
You cannot take them down believing that due process is available to everyone globally. It is not. Not in war. War, it's done. You let this guy here, Saddam Hussein, march into Kuwait. Nobody prayed with him until he did that. Never mind that he was a friend of the United States and a friend of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I get that whole thing. All right? Should you have taken him out later on, earlier, political, you know, sniper action? That might have been an issue, but I think that got ruled out years ago under Carter that you cannot pop a public head anymore. So that took care of that. Now, he goes over the line. All he had to do was be nice. He had his people there. He was slaughtering his own people. Nobody was bothering. Buying oil. Everything was cool. I mean, that's basically what it was. Nobody gave a crap.
Well, that's true. I mean, when he slaughtered his own people with the chemical weapons, that's not when the United States was all upset. The United States was upset when the oil fields of Kuwait were in danger.
No, excuse me. Those were not his people. Those might have been on the upper part of Iraq, but they're not, you know, Iraqis. You know,
well, they're in the country of Iraq, but okay, you know, were they Kurds? There's all kinds of... the thing is, you know, the Kurds, the Shiites, the Sunnis, they all are opposed to the United States presence right now, which, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, what kind of foreign policy do we really have? Sir, I'd like to take some more calls. Thanks very much.
Listen, hey, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for your thoughts there. Let me just quickly touch on this story, then we'll take some more calls. 631-632-9872. As furor grows over the mistreatment of Iraqi detainees, a report from a human rights group has charged that British troops occupying southern Iraq killed a dozen civilians who posed no threat to them. Many of those killings have not been investigated by the British military. The families of the victims have not been compensated, as if compensation really solves anything. 12 examples were listed of people who were apparently killed by British forces under questionable circumstances, including the shooting of an 8-year-old girl, I said 12, she was 8, who was standing with a group of children when a British patrol moved into her town. A report on the August 21st shooting incident said mobs threw stones at the troops as they drove into Karmat Ali, and one soldier fired a warning shot to disperse the crowds. However, Hanan Salih Matrud's family said there was no stone throwing when the British soldiers moved in. The witness said a group of children were attracted by the soldiers and stood more than 70 meters away observing them. Suddenly, a soldier aimed and fired a shot, which hit the 8-year-old. And there are other Britain's Ministry of Defense have said that UK forces have been involved in the killing of 37 civilians since May 1st, 2003. And that's only one report from one human rights organization that was basically ignored up until these photos were printed. And the thing with the photos, which really gets me, what if there were no photos? What if this abuse was taking place and people weren't snapping pictures of it? You think we'd be having this conversation now? You think we'd be talking about what's actually going on there? No, people would be saying, oh, American troops could never do that. We're beyond that. We're better. But now that evidence is coming out that, yes, in fact, American troops are doing that, well, the tactic has changed. Well, we have to do that. They do that, so we should do that too. How far can we go? That's the question. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I just don't see why you think the U.S. is going to start following the Geneva Convention now. I mean, with all of the Guantanamo Bay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
haven't given rights to anyone.
Well, there's a history of it, and of course with Guantanamo Bay, which was going on since 2001. So, you know, a lot of questions there. Yeah, we see the pictures coming out of Iraq. What's going on in Guantanamo Bay? Recently, people in England, British citizens, were released from Guantanamo Bay, sent back to England, not charged with any crime. Why were they there for 2 years? What were they there for if they weren't charged with a crime? What kinds of things, what kind of horrible treatment were they subjected to?
Yeah, I mean, and there are even stories coming out about drugs that were given to the prisoners and mistreatment there.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't even been charged with anything, so I don't even understand what gives the U.S. the right to do this. And
it's basically might makes right, and I think it's disgusting. And I think we need to stand up and say it's disgusting, and we need to call that number in D.C. and express our thoughts and feelings. We need to stand up, not let these kinds of stories that came out today deter us from that. Yeah, they're barbarians and savage people on all sides, but we have to stop what we're doing to make it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it requires some courage, some standing up for your convictions, but there's never been a more important time to do that. The whole world's watching this, and it's really, it's disgusting. It's horrible. I suggest everybody go out and buy a copy of The New Yorker either last week or this week. There are two articles by Seymour Hersh in there. Very detailed. It's horrible, horrible things that he's been privy to as far as seeing various photos. If you go to thenewyorker.com too, I believe there's a copy of the articles there as well as some of the pictures.
I'd also like to say happy birthday to 2600. I just got the new issue, and I have all the issues, but that's the nicest looking one I've seen.
You like that, huh? Yeah, it's our propaganda theme. It's very popular this year. It's our 20th anniversary, so yeah, thank you very much. We started in 1984, and I can't believe so much time has gone by.
And somebody said on the IRC channel that Tommy will be free on the 8th of July.
July 8th, the day before the Fifth Hope. How about that? Wow. Are you going to come to our conference?
Yeah, I'm planning on it. I have to get a few things in order so I can leave things here and go to New York, but yeah.
Where are you calling from?
West Virginia.
Okay. Hey, I'll be passing through West Virginia in a couple of days on the way to the Dayton Hamvention in Ohio.
Oh, yeah?
Always, I think it's Route 80. I always get off at an exit in West Virginia. It's only about 5 miles where I pass through that that state. And, it's a nice place.
What little you've seen of it, huh?
Yeah, well, little I've seen. I passed through Wheeling once, too. And that was a nice little town there.
Well, I'm going to let some other people get in here.
Okay, thanks for your call. And the Fifth Hope, of course, is the 2600 conference, which is taking place this July in New York City, July 9th through 11th. We have Steve Wozniak as one of our keynotes, Kevin Mitnick as another, and Jello Biafra will also be back. So we have those three megastars who will be appearing at the conference. You can get more information, www.hope.net. And hope to see a whole lot of you there. It's going to be much fun. And, of course, yes, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. It's also the 10th anniversary of the first Hope back in 1994. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey.
How you doing?
First, I'd like to just say I love the way you handled people that don't necessarily agree with you, rather.
Well, thank you. I try to, listen to what people have to say rather than, jump on a particular side.
Extremely, intense, emotional thing, and when it comes to things like this, people have a tendency to lose because they can't talk in sound bites,
mm-hmm.
And I just like the way that you sat back and listened. I just had a few points that keep running around in my head, and I'd like to take just 2 seconds to just kind of, itemize them. I'm not a very good debater.
Okay.
The first is the people that had an obvious difference with your opinion kept referring to this as a war. We all know that there is a protocol, that there is a way that this country is supposed to go to war. I don't remember that being followed. I don't remember Congress voting on this. I remember Congress laying down on this. This is a police action, not a war. So secondly, I don't remember any of our prisoners that either escaped or were released from captivity in Iraq reporting anything even similar to the behavior that we all just recently witnessed in photographs.
With the obvious exception of what was revealed today.
Well, the Fallujah, the hanging of the bodies, and maybe I misunderstood you. I didn't. What was released today?
Today, the word of a U.S. captive that was beheaded on camera, and it's on some website someplace.
Forgive me. I do hold an organized army. As I assume the Geneva Convention was directed, that an organized army is held to a higher standard.
Absolutely.
And we are not fighting an organized army. This is, I thought we were going in there to stop terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not sitting here arresting army personnel or whatever. Everybody, as far as I'm concerned, is a civilian. Granted, if as I heard you say, if somebody was going through my backyard, I wish I had a Kalashnikov or something.
Yeah, well, it's a tough situation, which unfortunately doesn't seem to have at all been planned for.
But there are only two more things that come into my mind. It's not an organized thing. I didn't expect to call you. The next point, rather, is just the size of the smiles on the people in the photographs.
Yes.
Americans. I mean, were they interrogating? I just wanted an arrow pointing to which guy in the naked pyramid was being interrogated at that time.
Yeah, this wasn't interrogation. This was just a bit of fun with the animals that they have locked up in the pen.
The only thing missing was the Mickey Mouse hat.
Yeah.
Because that would have made it a complete vacation.
Well, there's several hundred more photos. You may see it yet.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Okay. Thanks.
And, it's several hundred more pictures are out there, including videotapes. And I know conservative senators like Joe Lieberman want to keep that suppressed, saying it's for the benefit of the victims. Why make them suffer anymore? Well, you know, I think if you ask the victims, they will say, you know, show the world what happened to me. Show the world how these bastards treated me. And I think we deserve to see that, to see how the people we sent over there, how some of them have turned into monsters. Obviously, not everybody. You can't categorize an entire group of people one way or another. But, look at the pictures. Look at the smiles. Look at the way people are behaving. They're not committing a crime. They're not doing something they feel they're getting away with. They're doing what everybody knows they're doing. It's a big joke, you know? And that's what's happened over there. I've talked to people in the military in the last week who are over there. And sad to say, many of them say, you know, it's war. This is, they want to kill us, and, you know, we have them under our control, so this is the kind of behavior that results. Now, that's not how prisoners of war are supposed to be treated. I mean, it's ridiculous that there are rules to war, but there are, okay? There are rules, there are things that you just do not do, and, you know, last year, when the whole Jennifer Lynch thing was taking place, we were aghast at the fact that they were taken prisoner, that their pictures were being shown. That just their pictures were being shown, and that they looked unhappy. There were no signs of torture or anything like that. And for the most part, I believe they were treated not so badly. But we were beside ourselves with rage that this kind of a thing would happen. And now, can you imagine if the pictures were of Americans being abused by a whole bunch of Iraqis like that? We'd be sending in SWAT teams. So before condemning the other side, ask yourself what you would do in their place. All right, that's it for us this week. We're out of time. This conversation can go on all night, though, certainly. Tomorrow night, a special announcement. Off the Hook is having a two-hour fundraiser. It's the spring fundraising drive at WBAI, so hopefully a lot of you can show up for that. It's also our last show for this month over there, so tune in and find out what we have to offer. We'll be back again on this program next week, same time, same place. And for Off the Wall, this is Emmanuel Goldstein. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and stay tuned for the blues here on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Oh, I am just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rising smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow, that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Oh, you've given me a number, and you've taken off my name. To get around this campus, why, you almost need a plane. And you're supporting Chiang Kai-shek while I'm supporting Mao. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. I wish that you'd make up your mind, I wish that you'd decide that I should live as freely as those who live outside. Cause we also are entitled to the right to be in doubt. And when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Oh, you'd like to be my father, you'd like to be my dad, and give me kisses when I'm good and spank me when I'm bad. But since I left my parents, I've forgotten how to bow. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. And things, they might be different if I was here alone. But I've got a friend or two who no longer live at home. And we'll respect our elders just as long as they allow. That when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. I've read of other countries where the students take a stand. They've even helped to overthrow the leaders of the land. Now I wouldn't go so far to say we're also learning how. But when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. So keep right on a-talking and tell us what to do. But if nobody listens, my apologies to you. And I know that you were younger once, cause you sure are older now. And when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. So I'm just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rising smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow, that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.